You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
You know, we as a church, we stand on the shoulders of people who believe in this church, who believe in the Church of Jesus Christ, who believe in the call of God for this region. And they think that your salvation, they think that your betterment, they think that your growth in Christ is worth a sacrifice. Every single one of those people, they've invested into this church one way or another. You know, it's a beautiful picture for today's message, because today we're continuing this idea on the focus word for our year. Every year we start with a focus word. We've been doing this for over 3 years now. And the word for this year is rebirth. And we believe that this can be a seed word for your heart, a word that you can take and apply for your vision, for your family. And I believe that this word has a prophetic weight for you. Now, at this moment, right now, as you are living your life, you are living by a set of values. You are living by, guided by values. Whether you're a church person or not, whether you are a structured person or you're more of a free-flowing person, you might be young or experienced, male, female, right? You are living by a set of values. You're operating by a set of values. And what you value really is what you engage. What you value is represented in your action. Now, there might be a discrepancy in what you say you value to what you actually value. For example, you might say you value work, but you haven't gone to sleep at a proper hour so you can be productive at work and be good at work in months, right? You might say you value books and learning, but you haven't read a book since you were a student, since you were in school. And I could keep going a little bit more personal about God and marriage, but you get the point, right? Today's a happy day. It's a good day. We must all look at our lives, how we actually live. Look at our actions, what we do, and ask the question, what do my actions say I value? What do I do says I value? Because sometimes what happens is we go too long thinking of values as something inspirational or even something aspirational, which is not completely wrong, but we don't turn that into something that can be actionable. That's why we began our year speaking and teaching on our values as a church. Now, these are not values that we speak to you as a church because we want you to know the values of our organization and our culture as an organized place. These are biblical values. These are values that are part of the organism, and they are part of you. They can be a part of you. They are applicable. Now, here are the values that we've addressed so far. First week, if you remember, we talked about personal responsibility, and we talked about you having a part. Now, this is important to know because Jesus paid our debt, but Jesus did not fulfill our call. Those are two separate things. He paid your debt, he forgave your sins, he called you into his presence, gave you salvation, deliverance. But he has not fulfilled your call. You have a call to fulfill. Scripture says that what a man sows, that he shall reap. We are responsible for our actions. We talked about true joy on the second part of this series. You know, and not just joy when everything is good, but how to have joy amid an injustice. How to have joy during sorrow. And last week, if you weren't here, you got to listen to that message, because my wife preached a fantastic message on compassion. Wasn't that good? That was great. Yes. And we learned that compassion is our compass. God uses compassion to stir us up and to drive us toward the difference that we're supposed to make in our world. And like I said, it's important to have values. It's even good that they are aspirational or even inspirational, but it's even better if our values are actionable, if we can have values that drive us to action. And that's why we started with values, because it is the values are your foundation, how you operate. And it's by your values that you will experience rebirth in a relationship with God, as God begins to reorient your life. So you might be asking, all right, JD, how do I practically do this? How do I experience rebirth? I'm closing the series, but we'll continue to focus on this word throughout the year. There's a scripture in Ephesians. We went through the book of Ephesians during the 21 days. And this is a scripture that to me, I think it's one of the most practical and applicational instructions on how to experience rebirth. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. I think there's no way to make it clearer, right? Look carefully how you walk. In other words, what do my actions say I value? Look at it. Unpack it, disassemble it, and what do I need to change about my actions so that it will actually reflect the values I aspire to live better? This is what we ought to do. Now, today, you know, I'm going to continue the series. We've shared, as I said, three values, and I'm going to give you a fourth value. We have five values as a church, but before going to our fourth value, let me tell you this: next month, you got to be here, because we're going to dedicate the whole month of February to our fifth value of relationships. And we're going to start a series next month titled Relationship. I know, it's a little cheesy, right? But that's because every relationship takes you somewhere. You embark on a journey and you go somewhere. So we're going to talk about all that next month, starting next week, February 2nd. By the way, 2020-02-02, that's next week. I don't know what that means, but you just have two and zeros there the whole time. We're going to tell you how to walk from bad relationships to good ones, how to set healthy boundaries. And it's for singles, for married people, it's for everybody, all right? So that's next month. But today I want to spend a few minutes with you today talking about the value of generosity, the importance of generosity. Generosity is deeply and entrenched, and it's part of the scriptures. It's part of the way God operates, and it's really important for us to realize that generosity must be part of our lives. Now, I realize that most people want to be generous. In fact, if you're here today, if you chose to wake up on a Sunday morning and come to church to hear the good news, it's very likely that you aspire and you are a person who values generosity. There's a much greater likelihood that you do. But not everyone who holds back from being generous, not everyone who is reserved about generosity, does so because they're stingy. Sometimes our culture or our world's view of generosity creeps in and tweaks and changes our value and changes our perspective of generosity, and we begin to see generosity in a different way. Often, because of that, we begin to not think that we have something valuable to offer, that we have the means to be generous, or maybe even we feel like we're too tied down and there's too much pressure for us to be generous, or sometimes it's just fear. Keeps us from being generous. But I believe that these reasons, as I said, are based on a misconception, because what we see today is that people often use generosity as a method, a mechanism for influence and status. We see people who give large donations to put their name on a building somewhere, or their gift leads them to recognition or maybe an honorary title somewhere. And, you know, I'm not saying that people don't give with a generous heart or with a genuine heart, or that such type of gift is not helpful. But if we think about that as generosity, if we think about generosity as something large, grand, something that makes an impact, that puts your name somewhere, we're having the wrong definition of what generosity is. And you will end up thinking that you can't afford to be generous. The generosity has a very tall threshold for you to be generous. And here's my first point today. I have 3 points I'm going to share with you. First is this: generosity is not about what you give. Generosity is about how you live. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. I think it's important to note that Jesus calls generosity righteousness. He calls generosity the practice of righteousness, because generosity is doing the right thing when the time and the opportunity appears. And Jesus is saying, don't practice your righteousness to be seen. Don't practice your righteousness in order that you may build yourself up. That's not the point of it. Do it unto God. Do it before God. Jesus is teaching us that healthy generosity is not about us. Healthy generosity is not about status. It's not about our name. But it's righteousness unto God. It's righteousness itself before God. Which leads me to my second point. And it's this: generosity should have no strings attached. That's another point of generosity. Now, there's no nice way to say this, but let me just go ahead and say it. It's very twisted, and it's a self-defeating practice to be generous with a return in mind. If you're trying to be generous because you're thinking that you're going to get a return, it's self-defeating, because it's not really generosity. And what happens sometimes is there's a common philosophy that we all practice, that we understand, that creeps into our notion and our idea of generosity. You know, it's the idea of no pain, no gain, right? The reward system, which is not a bad system. It's a good system. We use it in our household to educate our kids. The reward system. In fact, that's how we let go of all the pacifiers. We gave them scissors. I'm not kidding. When our little ones, how old were they, honey? Well, probably two and a half. They wanted to cut paper with scissors. We said, we will do it if you give us your passies. So we made them throw away the passies in the trash, and we gave them scissors. Now, relax. It's not like pointy scissors. It's those scissors that do the crisscross, and they won't cut their finger off with scissors. We're not crazy. People are about to walk out and go like, I can't go to this church, man. They give scissors to kids. That's how we potty trained every child, right? Not to get graphic, but a piece of chocolate goes a long way if you're potty training a kid right now, all right? Go in the toilet. Here's the prize. The reward system works. It's not a bad system. And the system says that to receive the reward, you got to make a sacrifice. To receive the reward, you got to make a sacrifice. The mode of thinking can be capitalized. And a lot of industries have capitalized that mode of thinking. Right? The fitness industry capitalizes on that mode of thinking. The financial industry and many other industries capitalize on that mode of thinking. It's not a bad system. It's a good system. You got to make the sacrifice to see the reward. But I want to be transparent with you and really, really clear, as a follower of Jesus and as a pastor, if we think of generosity this way, it's going to take away from what generosity actually is, because there's a fine line between seeking generosity for in a reward system mindset and seeking generosity as a devotion to God. There's a very fine line between the reward system and devotion to God when we practice generosity. They are very similar in action. In fact, in action, from the outside, they look exactly the same. But God's call to generosity is a call to devotion to God. Generosity is devotion. It's not something that should be sought with a reward system in mind. You know, it's not any kind of twisted prosperity theology. And you've never heard that from us here, that you should give to get. You've never heard from us in this stage that you should give because God will get you what you want. We're never going to say that. This is what we do say, that you will hear us say that generosity is a better way of life because God is generous. Therefore, we ought to be generous like him and that he rewards the generous. It's true. He does. But what's the difference? The difference is the object of our devotion. If I were to say give to get, it doesn't matter if you're proud. It doesn't matter if you're selfish. It doesn't matter if you have selfish ambition in you. It doesn't matter if you're stingy. It doesn't matter if you're greedy. It might take root in your heart and you go like, all right, maybe that's what I need to do because I got to get something. So I'm going to be generous. It might appeal to you. But it appeals to your ambition and desire to acquire, if you think of the reward system. And as a church, if we did that, we could even profit more dollars. I mean, it has happened before. It has happened before. But this is what will not profit as a church. It will not profit healthy followers of Christ. You're with me? It will not profit disciples of Jesus. It will not profit people who are devoted to God with their life and what they have. It's not just about money. It's about trusting God. It's not just about goods. It's about who you are and giving of yourself. Generosity is much greater than giving to get. Let me show you in the scriptures. This is what Paul writes to Timothy, chapter 16, verses 17 and 19 of the first letter he wrote. As for the rich in this present age, by the way, that's every single one of you. If you live in America, you're rich, America. By any worldwide standard, you are the 1% in the world, the richest 1% in the world if you live here. So you can be grateful for that. Charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. See? Not on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Don't trust the reward system. Be devoted to God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. It's to enjoy, yeah. God provides, yes, he provides. They are to do good, that's for you and me, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly, that which is truly life. Generosity leads you to life. Generosity flows from a selfless love. You give out of love. You give because you value the person. You give because you value the God in the person. God put talents and gifts in everyone. And when you're generous to them, when you give time, when you give of your heart, when you give mercy, when you're with them, present unto God, you are valuing God's call in their lives. In other words, you love people generously because God loves them generously. And God will provide. Will he provide for the generous? Yes. Is there a promise of reward for the generous? Yes. But generosity is righteousness. It's devotion to God. Plain and simple is this. We should be generous because we love God and we love his people, not because we love the rewards of generosity. This is personal to me. You know, this is why I said this is personal, because I've been giving to the church all my life. Not just because I grew up in it, but because I value the church and I tithe. And I tithe not because I'm afraid. I tithe not because I feel like God might smite me or like the devil might come for me. None of that. I tithe because I believe in the church. I believe in what God is doing. And it is my pleasure to just invest in what God is doing. It's not about anything other than saying, God, you're my provider, and I trust you with every area of my life. And that's why as a church, we value generosity. And most of what we give as much as we can. Sometimes we give even when we can't. And most of what we give, you're never going to hear it on a video. We're never going to use it for any reason, because our generosity is not a methodology for fundraising or marketing. It's unto God. You got that? All right. Third point. Generosity is not about convenience. It's about obedience. And sometimes, you know, we make loving others or generosity a byproduct of positive emotion. We're feeling good. Times are good. You know, you're having a good day. And you go like, sure, here you go. I'll pick up the tab. It's all right. Right? Or you're with somebody and things are feeling good. And it's kind of random. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've made that decision to say, you know what? I'm going to pursue to be like Christ. I want to be the person that God has called me to be. You're going to find out that a lot of times, God is going to stir you up to be generous when it's not convenient. God is going to put a seed and a call in your heart to touch somebody, to write a check, to go and drive to somebody's house and be with them, to cook somebody a meal, to cut somebody's grass, to just be with somebody and hear their story when you can't, when it's not convenient for you. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. What is Jesus saying? Love people more than things. When people ask something of you that's difficult for you to do, don't do it begrudgingly. Be generous. Go with an open heart. Go above and beyond. Maybe your boss is pressuring you to get something done, and you feel like, that's not in my job description. That's beneath me. That's something that you should have somebody else do. You know what? Don't be taken advantage of, but do it. Do it. Give it your best. You know, just be generous with your abilities. Be generous with your capacity. This church wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for generosity and the sacrifice of many, many people. People who have gone above and beyond. So let me encourage you to be generous today. I'm gonna make it a challenge for you, okay? To each day decide to be generous. In fact, make it part of your confession. Sometimes you need to hear yourself say, you know, I am generous. Can you say that? I'm generous. I'm a generous person. That's right. You are. I'm a generous person. Now, let me give you some benefits of generosity, okay? This is stuff that has been researched and found. This is what you will find. Generous people live longer. Maybe you didn't know that, but generous people live longer. According to the Determined study, which was a study done, they follow people all their lives, from birth to death, a group of people. And they discovered this, that it is not those who got help from others, who got most help from others, who lived the longest, but those who gave the most to others who lived the longest. Generosity helps you live long. Loving others helps you live long. He says, this is what the scriptures say in Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. It's a promise that if you are generous, if you do it unto God, and you say, God, I'm going to give to this person, and not expect anything back. It has happened before, even to me personally. Like, I saw somebody on the side of the road saying, I'm hungry, I need some food. So I went to the Chinese restaurant just across the street, awesome Chinese restaurant, bought a big thing of food, took it to the guy, said, here, it's for you, a warm meal. He's like, what is that? What kind of food is that? I'm like, it's chicken fried rice. It's pretty delicious. Like, I don't like chicken. And I'm like, I bought it for you, man. I'm sorry. He's like, all right, I'll take it. I drove back. He gave it to his dog. Yeah, but it's fine. You know what? I wasn't expecting anything from him. I gave it unto the Lord. All right? I give it unto the Lord. The reward doesn't come from people who you give to. It comes from God. The reward comes from God, man. So just be generous with no strings attached. All right? Second benefit that I want to share with you. Being selfish makes you mad, but being generous makes you glad. Huh? It's true. Generosity makes you glad. Another study shows that spending money on others makes you happier than spending money on ourselves. Remember, I told you generosity is about righteousness in the Bible? Here's what this other research has shown. That people are less tolerant. People who are less tolerant of unethical behavior had better well-being than those who were okay with a big dose of cheating. So if you have a higher standard, righteousness, you will be happier than those who have a lower standard. And then I'm going to tie it to this other research result that was done. You're going to think I'm making this up, okay? I'm not making this up. I read it in a book, all right? Volunteering just 2 hours a week predicts an increase in life satisfaction. And those who donate their time to help others, Connect Community team, feel less busy and like they have more time. And this study was published not in a Christian book. It wasn't like the church lobby going like, and you write something good so people can check in the teams. This was written on a book called Barking Up the Wrong Tree. It's a business book. It's not even a Christian book. But it's research that has been found, scientific studies that have been found that generosity does all that for you. It's what Scripture says, Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. That's what the Scripture is teaching us, and the research also teaches us. That good ethics and generosity go hand in hand. And bad ethics and selfishness also go hand in hand. It's not noble and it's not good to be selfish. Selfishness is wicked. But generosity is righteousness. Generosity is good. And living generously is such a better way to live. Now, as we close this series, talking about experiencing rebirth and all these values and all these things, I got to tell you, you cannot experience rebirth without the cross of Christ. And some of you, you've been going through life, you know, and you've been dragging a baggage, right? Things that have happened to you, your old life, things that are in your past, and you're dragging this along. Experience that you've picked up along the way. Perhaps, you know, you had some regrets in your bag, right? You had some regrets and you put it in that baggage and you lived a little longer, and maybe in your past you've been going through life with abuse, things that have happened to you, and you're listening to me talk about values and you're thinking, JD, I have things that I need to work through. Maybe you have dealt and you still deal with the scars of abandonment, right? You have these negative thoughts and these experiences and you're carrying it. And life, with each experience, life got heavier. With each experience that you picked up, betrayal, you saw the burden of life get heavier. Life got heavier and heavier and heavier. Maybe you went through something traumatic. Maybe you had a heartbreak in your life. And it's all going into the burden that you're carrying. Maybe you've experienced failure. You tried and it didn't happen the way you thought. And you're listening to me here today, and it might be even the reason why you came to church. You realize that you've been carrying this all along, and you got to take care of this first. You realize that this is the problem, and you're listening to me, you know, talking about the rebirth and what this series means, and you're like, JD, I wanna have joy in my heart. I wanna look to God for joy, but the memories of what I've gone through pop up in my mind every single day. And I want to let go, but I can't because I keep thinking about that event. I keep thinking about what I've gone through. And you hear us talk about compassion and reaching out to other people, and you say, I want to be compassionate. I want to hold that value in my heart, but I've been hurt, and I still feel the pain. And I've been carrying around this burden, this past that I want to let go, but I can't. You hear me talk about practicing personal responsibility and generosity, and you say, I've been taken advantage of. And so my guard is up, and I can't help it. I want to practice, and I agree with you. I value those things, but I don't know what to do with this. What do I do with this? I got to point you to the cross of Christ. I got to remind you that there is deliverance in the cross, that God loves you, and that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There's healing at the cross. There's restoration at the cross. There's deliverance at the cross. And God is so powerful that this thing that seems so big that you've been carrying, lugging around, going into every experience in life with, that seems like this is all you experience every single day. It seems so big. God is so powerful that He can transform your life. He can not only help you get rid of it, but it's going to seem so small next to His greatness, to the kind of life that He's wanting to lead you to. What you have experienced, it'll make you wonder, how could God have taken all that mess and make it work for good? And somehow, I can draw good out of that. I got to remind you this. You need to keep this in your heart. Because this happens often. People come to church and come to God because they want to take care of this. And they think, as long as I don't have that, I'm free as a bird. I can go. So I'm going to take care of that. And then once that's taken care of, God did His job. No. When you bring this to the cross and God deals and heals you, that's just the beginning, buddy. That's just the start. Your deliverance is the start. Your healing is the beginning. That's when life with God begins. That's when you can then be generous, then be compassionate, then operate with full joy in your heart, then face every single circumstance, knowing that God is for you. And I believe that every single one of you, this is the year where you're going to be delivered and healed from every single thing in your past. You will outgrow it. God will use it to outdo it. That's right. And He will lead you to a future that's much greater than you imagined. Why? Because God is generous and He's full of righteousness. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen.